Welcome to Awaken to Grace. Today is part two of a sermon called Spiritual Walk, Check Your Lifestyle. This is the conclusion to our spiritual growth series. And if you've missed any of this series, make sure you go back into the archives and check out the sermons that we have preached thus far. Today, we're going to talk about the will of God and how you can understand what the will of God is. So many people, I think sometimes, you know, many of us think that God wants people to be in the dark concerning His will, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that God wants us understanding what the will of the Lord is, and you can know, you can understand what God's will is for your everyday life. And so today we're going to talk about what our spiritual walk is. We're going to talk about what making the best use of the opportunities God gives us looks like. And I hope you learn a great deal from Ephesians 5. If you've never visited my website, I want to invite you to do that. It is www.awakenedtograce.com. Again, it's awakenedtograce.com. When you go there, check out my bio page. You can see how I lost my eyesight and when I became completely blind. You can learn a little more about me and my family. And I also encourage you to check out our online store. When you click our store, you see the products that we've created. And when someone purchases a product from our website, well, 100% of it goes to the preaching, goes to the spreading of the gospel on devices and on platforms like what you're listening to right now. So visit awakenedtograce.com, grab your Bible or your device, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's learn from the Word of God today.
Friends, let me tell you, whatever level that you and I are serving at, we can up it. Can we say amen to that? If we'll just pay attention. See, that's what this scripture is telling us. If we'll just pay attention, God will show us things and we'll begin to live as wise and not unwise. I just finished earlier in the month a book that really changed my life. I've done so much reading on the life of Jim Elliot, but I went back and I listened to the classic book. It was written in 1958. And I went back and listened to the classic book called Through Gates of Splendor. Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Pete Fleming, Ed McCulley, and Roger, those five men went to Ecuador to preach the gospel to unreached peoples. They had guns, but they vowed they would never use those guns, ever. They may fire a warning shot, but they would never use them on the Aqua Indians. The Indians were known as cannibals. They were known as headhunters. They spent a couple of years trying to reach them, trying to make contact with them. And on the first very real encounter, these men, who most of them were in the prime of life, they were in their late 20s, early 30s, they all had wives. Most of them had children. They were killed. They were martyred by these Indians. What's so remarkable about Through Gates of Splendor is that the wives and the children didn't leave Ecuador. They stayed and they lived among the men that killed their husbands. Those men ended up giving their lives to Christ. And it's a remarkable story. It's literally a story for the ages. Jim Elliot said so passionately and so wonderfully at the age of 28, "He is no fool who gives what he can never keep to gain what he will never lose." Friends, that's living a wise life. How foolish it is to live for the moment. How foolish it is to live for the fleeting pleasures of this world. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he'll never lose. Do you live as wise? Or if you inventoried all of your decisions, if you inventoried where all of your money goes, if you inventoried all of your energy, if you inventoried the best of you, if you inventoried your attention, would it be on wise things, eternal things, or would it be on unwise, temporary things, transient things? Do you see what the scriptures is teaching us? If you pay careful attention to your walk, if you pay careful attention to how you live, you will begin to not live as the unwise, you'll live as the wise. You'll be no fool for giving what you'll never keep to gain what you'll never lose. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, those little missionaries who were here last week, that young couple that God is going to use so mightily and so powerfully, some of you gave sacrificially to them. Some of you gave sacrificially. Let me tell you, you gave up what you can never keep to gain what you'll never lose. Some of you took a chunk out of your budget for Bibles for Bangladesh. Some of you supported Cairo Missions. Some of you have had a passion for Bibles for Pakistan. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're taking what you'll never keep and you're putting it toward great gain and you'll never lose it. Amen? Live as the wise, not as the unwise. Make the best use of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Let me tell you something. Who would have ever thought that in the midst of a global pandemic, a church like this, on a little corner of a little downtown, of a little town like Kingsport, would be able to show so much love and so much gospel and share all that we share as a church? Who would have ever thought? Because we're making the best use of the time. We're redeeming the time. Are you? Are you doing that individually? Because I assure you, this scripture is not written only to a congregation like this. It's written to your marriage. It's written to your family. It's written to your income. It's written to your health. It's written for your spiritual gifts. It's written for you personally. Can you say, I am making the best. I am taking advantage of every opportunity in this kairos, in this time that God has for me. I hope you're feeling encouraged because it's encouraging me. Some of you say, Chad, I'm feeling convicted. No, my friend, be encouraged. God has set this kairos time. And you and I, depending on what we do with it, we'll look back on it from the vantage point of eternity. The question is, will we be wise or unwise? And then notice what he says lastly and next. Therefore, so here's the conclusion. Here's the transition. Someone said, well, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, stop and say, what's that therefore? You get it. Some of you will get in an hour or two. But stop. What's happened, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, that means something major just happened. And now he's going to tie it all together. So what's he saying? He's saying, pay careful attention. Watch out how you're living. Pay close attention to your lifestyle. Don't be like the unwise, rather be wise. And then he's saying, take every advantage of every opportunity that God brings your way. Do I have 5 minutes to tell you one more quick little story? I read another book earlier in the year. It's changed my life. And in this book, He highlighted a man in Atlanta named Milton Scott. I've been wanting to talk about Milton Scott for a while, and I just feel the Lord saying, now is a good time to talk about him. Milton Scott was born in 1895. Milton Scott lived until 2001. You think about that. He was able to see the 1800s, all of the 1900s, and into the 2000s. What a life God gave him. He did very well for himself. He was a businessman, and he did well. His sisters married into a brothers who were the founders of Coca-Cola in Atlanta, but it didn't much interest him. What interested him were kingdom agendas. He built a house for his bride in the late 1920s. It was the same house that they lived in their entire lives. It never had a modern kitchen. It never had a modern bathroom. As a matter of fact, when Milton Scott, in his 100s, was in hospice care, the only air conditioning they ever owned in their house was a window unit that the hospice nurse demanded. He never drove a new car. He would trade it in every 10 years on a sensible car. He owned a textile manufacturing company. No one really knows how much money Milton Scott gave to the kingdom of God. Conservative estimates are millions. No one ever knew it. He never bragged about it. His passion, and this is why I love this brother. I can't wait to meet him one day in heaven. His passion was Bible translation work, Bible printing, and Bible distribution around the world. He himself personally funded 13 Wycliffe Bible translation projects. And he would wait for God to bring the next project to his desk. And he would tell the Lord, if you'll pay for it, I'll pay for it. And many times he emptied out all of his accounts to buy Bibles. And each time God would refill them. Over his lifespan, from 1895 to 2001, Milton Scott glorified God in a way that only eternity is really going to reveal. See, you and I have the same opportunity. Who had ever heard of Milton Scott prior to this? He wasn't a famous preacher. To my knowledge, he never preached one single sermon. But look what he did with his life, because it was a life well lived. Because he paid careful attention to the way he lived. Do you know he read through his entire Bible some 80 times? You know why he was so passionate about spreading the Bible? Because he actually read it. Friends, if you and I actually read it, we would share that same passion. He lived well. He died well, and I believe his eternity is exquisite. Follow the logic. If you pay careful attention to your everyday life, you'll not be as the unwise, you'll be as a wise man, a wise woman. You'll make the best use of every opportunity, like Milton Scott. Every project God brought to his desk, he addressed it. What if you and I were that way? Whatever project comes. Often we tell the Lord as a church, God, we'll take any hill. You just tell us what hill to take and we'll take it. What do you want us to do, Lord? Then he said, because the days are evil. How many of you agree with that? Did you see what happened in Nashville on Christmas Day? Have you paid attention to the news? How many shootings there have been? How many acts of violence have been? Have you paid attention to Lynn Garden? You paying attention to our own city? How much violence there's been just in the month, just this month how much violence has been in our own city? Friends, the stakes could not be higher than what they are now. And then lastly, he says, therefore, because of all of this, here's the conclusion. Don't be foolish. Don't live wasted, comfortable lives. Don't be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand God's will for you? You may not, but here's the good gospel news. You can. Did you know that God does not want his will to be a mystery to you? Some of you may feel frustrated today because you don't know God's will for you. Well, friends, let me tell you, God's on your side. He wants you to understand his will. Don't be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And let me tell you, if you don't know God's will in the really huge things, don't sweat that. You start doing God's will in the little things. And what will happen as you're doing God's will in the small things, he'll walk you into his will in the large things. You know what the Bible says is God's will for all of us? To give thanks in all circumstances. Come on, say amen if you're with me right now. Amen. To give thanks in all circumstances. See, some of you are praying for a better job, but God can't give you a better job till you start giving thanks for what you got. Some of you are praying for a more reliable vehicle, but God can't give you that till you start giving thanks for what you got. Some of you are praying for a spouse, but God can't do that until you begin to be thankful in singleness. Giving thanks. And you may not know what God's will is 5 years down the road or 2 years down the road or even next week. But here's what you do know based on the word of God. His will today is for you to be a thankful person. And if you would just start doing that, then God will begin to order your steps as they ought to be. And then Proverbs 4:26, Proverbs 4:18. Then the Bible says, ponder the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. And the Bible says that the path of the righteous is like the dawning of the day and it grows brighter and brighter until full noon day. Friends, we make this thing far more complicated than what it ought to be. And if we'll just stick to the word and we'll just do what the word tells us to do, I'm telling you, God works it all out. And you say, Chad, that's easy for you to say. No, my friends, I know what I'm talking about. Because God has helped me and God is helping me. Pay careful attention to how you live. Don't be like the unwise, be like the wise. And how do you do that? You make every opportunity. You take the best use of the kairos, the time that God has right now, the season of life you're in. You're in a season of singleness, make the best of it. You're in a season of separation, make the best of it. You're in a season of joblessness, make the best of it. You're in a season of spiritual drought, make the best of it. You're in a season of your children being wayward, being prodigals, make the best use of it. And then you know what will happen? Because the days are evil, God will work in your favor. God will help you in an extraordinary way. And therefore, you will understand what the personal will of God is for you and your family. Let's bow our heads today. Lord, I want to thank you for every word and every line of God's word. Whew. Line upon line, precept upon precept, it teaches us how we ought to live in this present evil age. It teaches us how to think. It teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to walk. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, what is it about 2020, this hard and difficult year, what do you need to leave behind? What do you need to leave behind? What do you need to start going into 2021? You know, I've been talking a lot about mornings with God. What if you became a Milton Scott that you read your Bible through? What if you became a Milton Scott that instead of trying to upgrade that house, you did the work of God? What if God got the best of you every day? Not what's left, but the best. What if? What if instead of just making snap decisions, what if he began to lay your decisions out before God and you began to seek his will and you began to seek his face? What if? What if instead of deciding what was right for you, you waited on the Holy Spirit? What if your steps were guided by God? Oh, how different things would be. And you know what I learned from Milton Scott is you don't have to be a big name. You don't have to have fancy things. You don't have to have the right connections. You just need to quietly obey God. And as you do that, heaven accounts for it. Boy, I tell you, to get to heaven and to have the rewards that Jim Elliot has, who didn't keep what he could, who didn't try to keep what he could never keep of himself. He lost his life, but he gained eternal life to have the rewards of Milton Scott, who quietly plodded along through life, glorifying God, serving his kingdom. Eternity is now theirs. But see, we're here in this Kairos. We're here with these opportunities. You know, 2020 is going to, it's given us unique opportunities. This last week, there'll be unique opportunities. January will be a unique opportunity. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God, make me wise. Make me wise. Don't let me be foolish with my life, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make me wise. Make all of us wise. That together we'll look back on this Kairos and we'll say, we glorified God. With this time, with this space, with these resources, with this health, with this opportunity that you've given us. Heaven awaits us, but that's then, this is now. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.